CBS Radio. This is Talk 650, powered by CBS Radio.
The following program is sponsored by Learn to Succeed, LLC. It's not right-wing radio. It's not left-wing radio. It's think-wing radio. Welcome to the Mike Honig Show. And now, Mike Honig.
Good afternoon and good lunch. Welcome to ThinkWing Radio with Mike Honig on Talk 650, powered by CBS. The call-in number is 713-9650-650. You can also write to ThinkWing Radio at MSN.com. That's ThinkWing Radio, one word, at MSN.com. And I'll try to respond to questions while we're on the air. You can also use that email to send me your comments, opinion, questions, or even ideas for guests or topics. My guest today is D.B. Grady, a writer and military commentator. Mr. Grady is a former paratrooper with the U.S. Army Special Operations Command and a veteran of Afghanistan, where he served from 2006 to 2007. D.B. and I will be talking about how this country uses and perhaps abuses our all-volunteer armed forces and what might be changed to make things better. But first, a comment. The recent firing of General Stanley McChrystal once again reminds us that in the United States, civilian authority controls the military. That's the way it must be if a democracy is to remain a democracy. But here's a question. Have our troops been abused by the deficient policies and strategies of some in civilian leadership? Are there things which our civilian leaders need to do better? Any military which accepts civilian control does so with this implied contract. Civilian authority must respect the sacrifices of military personnel. It must refrain from shedding the blood of its warriors in useless pursuits, and it must expend their efforts with wisdom and respect. The United States Armed Forces are among the very best in the world. The volunteers are courageous, loyal, and dedicated to serving their country. They often experience great hardship, risk, and danger, and they do so willingly and even enthusiastically because they want to serve their country. In return, all they ask is that their leaders don't waste their blood and their lives and manage them wisely. Combat tours in Iraq and Afghanistan have run as long as 15 months. That can be a challenging experience for anyone mentally and physically. Repeated deployments multiply those strains. According to recent statistics, over 310,000 soldiers have served in Iraq or Afghanistan. About 31%, over 96,000, have served at least two tours. About 16%, over 49,000, have served three or more tours, 12 to 15 months a tour. Times between deployments have been short, often less than a year. The short recovery times mean that many soldiers go back into combat zones with residual injuries and unresolved emotional issues. The strain of prolonged absence and emotional stress shatters families. The multiple deployments have taken a terrible toll on our warriors. According to an article in USA Today, the percentage of soldiers who are unavailable for combat has risen sharply during the past 3 years, from 11% of each brigade in 2007 to 16% in 2010. Repeated deployments and health problems have driven much of the increase. Cumulative psychological stresses of combat, including the loss of friends and comrades, can be fatal. In April 2010, Time magazine reporter Mark Thompson wrote, "From the invasion of Afghanistan until last summer, which would be 2009, the U.S. military had lost 761 soldiers in combat there. But a higher number in the service, 817, had taken their own lives over the same period." So as of summer 2009, suicides by military personnel serving in Afghanistan exceeded combat deaths. The conclusion forced upon us is that the size of our military is inadequate to the tasks currently before it. In my opinion, this is a direct result of the so-called Rumsfeld Doctrine. I would call it a less is more strategy. Thomas L. Friedman of the New York Times referred to the Rumsfeld Doctrine as one of, quote, just enough troops to lose. But what's done is done. So how do we move forward? Asking our warriors to sacrifice more is not an acceptable solution, and the wars are not going away as soon as we might wish. So, the only way to ease the combat burden on our forces is to increase our combat personnel. Increasing wartime recruitment for an all-volunteer force is challenging and expensive at best. Assuming that our military requirements will not decline soon, I think it's time to consider new alternatives. I think it's time to seriously discuss the idea of national civic service. I'm not talking about a draft in the usual sense. Rather, I'm thinking that every American, when they leave school or turn 18, should be expected to commit some period of time, perhaps 2 years, perhaps 1 year, to public service. I think the program would encourage more young adults to consider joining the military as a form of public service. Many will choose other forms of service. What kinds of service could these young people perform? They might work with the domestic poor or disadvantaged. They might provide tutoring or help teach reading skills. They might work in hospitals and aid in patient care. There are many Native American communities which could use various kinds of human assistance. There are still poor regions of this country which could use assistance in education and development of infrastructure. Sometimes even a little additional manual labor can be of enormous help, whether it be helping to build bridges or painting in shelters under construction. This nation needs many things done and has limited money to do it. Universal civic service would give our country extensive human resources for the cost of room, board, and a reasonable stipend. What would be gained by the young people providing this service? For some, it might be the equivalent of serving an internship at an engineering firm or a hospital. For others, it might be like an apprenticeship where they could learn trade skills. This experience could open professional opportunities for them when they leave the service. Some might choose to join the Peace Corps or VISTA, Volunteers in Service to America. And others might find that they would get the best value from their service time by experiencing the potential benefits and satisfaction of a career in the armed forces. The advantage to business would be the opportunity to employ and train young people on a subsidized basis and perhaps find excellent future employees. But I think that the greatest benefit obtained by all these young people and the entire nation is the expanded perspective they would acquire of the world outside their personal experience. The rich might experience the poor. The strong might come to better understand what it is to be weak. The aimless might find new goals and ideals. The disadvantaged might find the greatest opportunities they've ever had in their young lives. For our nation, the greatest benefit would be future voters and citizens who have a broader understanding of their country and their world and their responsibility to it. I see the idea of a universal national service as a win-win. Let's talk about it. That's how I feel. You can call in and tell me how you feel by dialing 713-9650-650 or write to me now at thinkwingradio@msn.com. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig here on Talk 650 and 650Houston.com. As I said earlier, my guest today is D.B. Grady. Our military posture has increasingly been a subject of discussion. Combat tours, as I mentioned, have been too many and too frequent. Mr. Grady is a veteran of Afghanistan and was in Airborne Special Forces. Among other accomplishments, he's a contributor to the Atlantic Monthly on Military Matters and the author of a new book called Red Planet Noir, a science fiction Mike Hammer-style detective mystery which takes place off Earth, and a book I've been enjoying immensely. Today, we'll be talking about military manpower issues, including recruitment, deployment, and some other things. How are you doing today, DB?
Doing very well, and please call me David.
Thank you very much. So I guess my first question would be, what do you think of the idea that I put forward in my commentary about a universal civic service and the possible contribution that might make to military recruiting?
First of all, I think that it's a fantastic idea, and I know that President Obama agrees with you on that. In 2009, he and Congress passed the Edward M. Kennedy Serve America Act, which increased the size of AmeriCorps to, I think, it increased it to a quarter million people. It put available grants and tax benefits to students and young people, old people alike. I believe if you contribute as low as 100 hours of service all the way up to 300 hours of service, I believe you get these benefits. So it is something that the government is looking at. It's a major policy initiative of the Obama administration, and I think it's a good thing. With regard to military policy and military recruiting, I think that once you put forward to the nation, or once you really start embedding it in young people as early as high school, once you get out of high school, before you get to college, or immediately after college, you should be contributing in some way, whether it's a community volunteer, whether it's swinging hammers in, you know, Guadalajara, or whether it's joining the Marine Corps. Once that's actually embedded in young people and it becomes a reality, it just becomes something you do. Just like from middle school, you just go to high school. After high school, you just go to college. It's just something you do. Once national service becomes a thing along those lines, it's just something you do. Now I do my national service. I think it'll have a very positive impact on military recruiting.
I think that that's a great point. And actually, we need to take our break now. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig here on Talk 650 and 650Houston.com. And we'll be back in just a minute.